listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Miss me with that bullshit. Don't you miss me just a little bit. I only care about my money, bitch. I'm inconsiderate. People think they know you cause they see you on the internet. Well, hello, motherfucker. Nice to meet you. Now get off my dick. I'm addicted to my phone, so I had to get rid of it. Grown ass niggas in my comments throwing hissy fists. Damn, what you doing with your day? How you got so much time to hate? God damn. I know you want to catch these fades, but I don't got no time to play. Rudy just pulled up again and I'm already feeling it. Knew that I was really lit when Derek said, yeah, you really lit. Good night with the bush again, going in this art club, bitch. Me and my face trapping out the same arcade kid Cuddy did. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Took yesterday off. It was National Just Because Day. So we took it off just because.
Yeah, we were grinding this weekend.
At any rate, we're ready to get back into the swing of things and give you guys a podcast, all right? All kinds of stuff happening today. Of course, the show can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everybody takes time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport,
the bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. And I just want to once again announcement, just letting you guys know there are people who have paid money for live show tickets who can't make it or just want to give someone a chance to go.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to our live show for absolutely free $99. I even saw someone today sent a VIP ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, you get to meet us, we're gonna get some things away to you. Mm-hmm. We're gonna take a picture with you, sign anything. Those are rare, okay? We sold out of those in like less than a week. So if you are a person that wants to come, even if you just want to upgrade your ticket from regular to VIP and they giving them away, we got you. But you gotta email us theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. let us know if that's something you would like to do, and we'll make sure you get your ticket. But yeah, we'll start with that as our announcements. Of course, you can find this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic by searching the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews, okay? That's it. Search the Black Guy Who Tips, leave us 5-star reviews, and we'll love you for it, okay? And we'll read them on the air, and as long as they're nice, okay?
Right.
What else was I gonna say? We did the official weapon, right?
Taser.
Yeah, we did that, I think.
Bullet ball.
And bullet box string. Yeah, I think we did that. There's something else I was thinking about doing before the show. I don't remember what it was. All right, well, whatever it was, let's I'm sure it'll come back to me.
I know something I was gonna say. I want to give my condolences to Dexter. His father passed. So for those of you who know Dexter, Dexter is Shadow Dog Production. He's one of our sponsors, and he's been sponsoring us for years. And his daddy has been sick and just been kind of battling and things like that. And I was on Twitter today, and I seen that he said his daddy had passed. So I just wanted to let Dex know that we love you, Dexter. We care, and our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Yeah, he passed today, and he had a really tight relationship with his dad.
Yes,
so,
he did.
I'm sure that hurt, but at least his suffering is over and stuff, because you know he was dealing with some issues in the hospital, and Dexter was kind of like tweeting about it, you know, like letting people know what was going on and stuff. So you know, rest in peace to his father, who I believe also was named Dexter.
It is, and they look so, because Dexter is not on Facebook. But when we take pictures with Dexter, I will post them on Facebook. And when they ran, they always tagged his dad.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my gosh, y'all look alike.
All right, let's get into other stuff about the show. I guess kind of a somber note to start on. Mm-hmm. But
I wanted to do that before I forgot.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know if we mentioned it last week, but Nick Jude, she had dealing with some stuff with her parents and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you know, obviously all these people are in our thoughts and always thinking about them, you know.
Correct.
That's family. Okay. And also, I never know how much business we can put on the show. I don't be wanting to put people shit out there, but you know, then I don't know what the rules are. I don't want them to piss anybody off, but
I don't know either, but I know Dex has been very open.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into the show, guys. All right, so all kinds of stuff going on. almost don't know where to start. Well, actually, yeah, I do know where to start. Our girl Lauryn Hill finally responded to Robert Glasper and other people's misconceptions about her. That's right, Miss Hill took to medium.com to clear the air from her point of view.
I got a dumb question.
Yes.
Is Medium like a blog post site?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yep, that's not a dumb question. There are no stupid questions, Karen. Only stupid people that won't shut the fuck up. And you're not a stupid person.
No, and I was trying, because I know a lot of stuff come off of the Medium, and so I was like, is it a website? Like, I knew it was a website, but it's like, is it like a free
file? I have a Medium account. I've read several of my Medium pieces on here. You don't remember?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so it's basically like a, it's like a blog place, but it looks, you know, it's really easy to use, accessible, and all kinds of people right there. You can monetize it. You can make it so that people pay to see your content.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. So if you like a writer, or you write a lot and things like that, it's a good way to create another source of income.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that have attached their Patreon to their Medium feed, and you're supposed to go pay to read what they do. And, you know, I don't know how much money people are making off of these pieces, if they're making money off these pieces.
Correct.
You know, good luck to everybody, obviously, no hard feelings, but but a lot of stuff is for free, and sometimes right. They have like bigger name people and they feature you, and it's kind of a social media interaction. Like, you get thumbs up, people can highlight certain things, they can share certain stuff, they can favorite like this one passage and share it and share your article and stuff like that. So it's a pretty cool thing. I should write more, because you know, when I write stuff on here, you know, it does get pretty good, like it does spread pretty well.
Cool.
All right, so Lauryn Hill, Miss Lauryn Hill, I gotta follow her. I can't believe I wasn't already following her. This must be her first piece. She wrote her own piece addressing Robert Glasper and the other common misconceptions about me in no particular order. Oh, and I'm reading every motherfucking word, so strap in your seats or lead the show. I don't give a fuck. I remain patient and quiet for a very long time, allowing people to talk, speculate, and project while keeping my nose to the grindstone, fighting for freedoms many folks aren't even aware matter. The arrogance of presumption that allows someone to think that they could have all the facts about another person's life and experience is truly and remarkably presumptuous. The arrogance of presumption is y'all being presumptuous. Agreed. People can sometimes confuse kindness for weakness and silence for weakness as well. When this happens, I have to speak up. Listen, she may not have come on time with this feedback, but she still is on Lauryn Hill time, and that's what we needed. We don't need her to be, she had to get her whole story straight up. Okay, had to get all her chakras aligned.
I mean, do I need to get some tea?
Maybe you do. I don't know. I apologize for the delay in getting this posted. Girl, we are so over you being a little bit late. Okay, we ain't worried about that. Boo, it's you. We cool. Let's go. I was late in hearing about it. I understand this is long, but my last interview was over a decade ago. So she got a decade worth of stuff to get off her chest. It's not completely informed, talking about Robert Glasper. But he's entitled to his perception. Context certainly helps, though. Well, give us some, boo. You may be able to make suggestions, but you can't write for me. I'm the architect of my creative expression. No decisions are made without me. I hire master builders and masterful artisans and technicians who play beautifully, lend their technical expertise, and who translate the language that I provide into beautifully realized music. Which y'all know about that. She hires masters, okay? But y'all mad that she uses their expertise in her work. What kind of idiot is mad about that? These are my songs. Musicians are brought in because of the masterful way that they play their instruments. I'm definitely looking for something specific in musicians, and I absolutely do hire the best musicians I can find. Not every band had that particular something I was looking for. That doesn't make them bad musicians, but just different than what I needed in that particular moment. Right. You know, a lot of the things that Glasper said struck me odd, because a lot of it was about the perception of how Miss Lauren Hill wasn't nice enough to him, kind of like it was too callous of an interaction, and she fires bands and she hires new people when she wants to change the sound, and like who the fuck is she to be doing this?
A lot of people do that.
She's the headliner. That's what she can do. Like, it's a business. You got into this because it's a business. It's not friends and family playing, nigga. Like, play the music, get the money, that's it. The miseducation was the first time I worked with musicians out of the Fugees who report, and working relationship was clear. In an effort to create the same level of comfort, I may not have established the necessary boundaries and may have been more inviting than I should have been. In hindsight, I would have handled it differently for the removal of any confusion. And I have handled it differently since. I'm clear, and I make clear before someone walks in the door that I am what I am and am not looking for. I may have been inclusive, but these are my songs. See, that's the thing that's wild. So when she was with the Fugees and shit, you know, it's almost like a family, but they had a little working, you know, relationship of how they like things done. So she goes and does her solo album, and she tries to recreate that atmosphere, but these are not her friends, family, people she came up with. Right. This is a different band. So these people took that lack of boundaries as, it's like we both made the song. And she like, no, it's like every other fucking album is still mine. Like every other album that anybody makes. It's not a collaboration. You know, we don't go, oh, Jay-Z album plus the niggas that play live instruments. No, we'd be like, that's Jay-Z's album. You know, it's Beyonce's album, not Beyonce and a collection of talented artists that she tours with. Like, people don't think like that and they know it, you know. But it's kind of interesting because since miseducation, it has led to her being more callous towards different bands and different people within, like, you know, that play for her. And people took that as also bad. But she's like, I don't want to run into a situation where I'm getting sued again because y'all niggas feel like this our song. What I'm saying is mine. You know what I mean? So I have to start treating y'all at arm's length because y'all niggas presumed more than I did when it came to the collaborative effort of making music. This sounds like boundaries and protection with me. Oh, anyway, I have come across the occasional musician who thinks they already know what I want. Feelings and egos can be easily bruised when you tell them they actually don't. I'm never trying to intentionally hurt anyone's feelings, by the way, but when people insist that they know you and don't, you may have to be equally as firm to demonstrate otherwise. I'm paying for a service and looking for something specific, which isn't up to someone else's interpretation or opinion. I have my own idea of what works for me. That shouldn't offend. I'm legitimately trying to understand what the problem is, because a lot of people I think are piling on to her, but it's really more about their weird obsession. Because, like, it's funny, right? Aretha Franklin just died.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen so many like, oh my gosh, she was a diva, she was the best. Oh, remember when she said beautiful gowns about Taylor Swift? Remember this, remember that? Remember, she used to go into rooms. Like, she'd have a business meeting with somebody. She would walk in the room and she hated air conditioning. She would stick her arm in the room, and if the AC was on, she would literally leave and not do the meeting. So you wouldn't even see her step foot in the room or anything. She just, she'd be like, nope, AC on. I hate AC. I'm out. But we love that. That's a great story. I was reading something about her today. She was the queen of soul, and I think at times she saw her boyfriends like servants. Tenor and lead singer of the Temptations, Dennis Edwards, one of her lovers stated, she got her drinking under control in the 70s with the help of her road manager Ken Cunningham, and was pregnant again. After moving in with Cunningham, she continued to see Dennis Edwards. Now under the wing of Uber producer Jerry Wexler, she still lacked fundamental business sense. She didn't show up for concert dates and had to pay the venues. Interesting. Someone was just telling me how Aretha Franklin was a diva, but she ain't missed no concert dates. And I said, are we sure? Are we just saying that's a long life to have never had a span where maybe things didn't go right in your life?
Come on.
You know, it's just, we don't care.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's different for her. But, you know, there's other stuff they had too about her making up rumors about her rivals and all this other shit. But I ain't even really trying to, this is not to desecrate her. It's just more about the idea of the double standard that people have in their head about this shit. A diva, essentially, to most people, is a bitch.
Right.
A diva, not really a positive affirmation. We've turned something negative into something positive. What most people would call somebody controlling and da da da. It's the one area where we look at women and go, well, nah, it's okay this time. Like, you're successful, you made, like, hit music, you're somebody. So now if you treat people fucked up, we'll go, what a diva. You know, to the point we even call some men divas.
Correct.
It's like, Prince won't let you look him in the eyes. What a diva. Oh, he was the greatest. You know, like, we just do that. But some, I don't know, for some reason people won't extend that to Lauryn Hill, and it's weird because, I don't really get what she did so wrong that's so, whatever. And I think also, like, people label her as crazy in an industry where if you're a woman, you either go missing or go crazy. You know, for the most part, like, especially with rap, like, it's kind of hard to really stick in that lane. Like, you stick around too long and it's your old motherfucker, don't nobody want to hear that shit. Or you stick around too long and people go, that woman's crazy, she went crazy. You know, the game does that to people. Anyway, I have come across the occasional musician who thinks that I already know what I want, blah, blah, blah. I'm paying for a service, did that. I definitely don't like to fire anyone. It did take me meeting a lot of people over a number of years to find the right musicians, but my current band has been with me for a long time. The newest member is probably 2 to 3 years, some as long as 7 to 8 years now. I was looking for a similar natural chemistry with new musicians that I'd had with the Fugees and Miseducation bands. I'd literally grown up with some of those musicians. That isn't easy to find. In 2008, I had only a young man helping me and my mother after disbanding my former support staff. No idea why any musician would have had knowledge as to what I was being paid. Not sure why what he's saying is accurate. Don't have the details or recollection of cutting the band's pay in half. If fees had been negotiated and confirmed without my knowledge, I may have asked for them to be adjusted, but I would never just cut a musician's pay arbitrarily unless I had a legitimate reason. There are artists who do cut pay, though. James Brown was notorious for docking musicians if they did something he didn't like. I'm sure there are others. Yeah, but it's different when it's James somehow.
Different when it's a man.
Right, right. But people love some James Brown. People love those stories of him being like, if you came in late on this, he'd take $400 off your pay. Like, yeah, people love those stories.
Dress a certain way.
All right. It was necessary. Man, there was one person that was shitting on Lauryn Hill on my timeline, and I didn't even want to say nothing because I was like, you have big timed us, this show, several times. What are you talking about? I don't harbor no grudge towards you. Mm-mm. I'm looking at it like, hey, maybe you need to go handle whatever the fuck it is for you. That day was more important than being on our show, or even letting us know you couldn't be on the show, or whatever the fuck. And I just let it slide, like, fuck it, we still cool. Imagine me being out here on these streets like, well, actually y'all fave. Imagine that. That's some bullshit to me, you know. And imagine even worse than that, I hadn't worked with them since 2008 and I was out here doing interviews saying how shady that person was. It's some bullshit. Robert was tripping, he was out of pocket. It was necessary for me to reestablish trust and cultivate a new environment. I was looking to challenge myself artistically. I was also openly challenged musical industry norms. I had left the machine, and with it went some polish. But the cause we were fighting for, creative integrity, was worth far more than a little polish to me. When you're a popular artist or a public figure, people can sometimes forget that you're hiring them to perform a service and that you're not the one there to entertain them. I didn't scream and yell. Maybe I didn't provide the experience that a musician may have wanted or expected during that time, but I was straightforward, direct about my business at hand. Making my art is a labor of love, but it's still labor and can be labor intensive at that. If a musician was looking for a cushy job filled with the same trappings I was purposely weaning myself from, we wouldn't have been on the same page anyway. Make no mistake, addiction is a common snare laid to dismantle the integrity of artists. My environment at the time operated more like a rehabilitation clinic than an after party. Yeah, see, this is an unspoken part of with Lauryn Hill that was wild, is, you know, with the coming off of the fact that I'm sure she felt used by Wyclef after being in the Fugees and having an affair where he's married and shit. And then also, she didn't want to do what the industry was grouping women towards at the time. She was very much like a young, attractive black lady in this world run by men who decide that to be a rapper and a woman in that age, you need to be pulling your pussy out and sexing it up, you know. And that was not like, and a lot of men groomed women's careers at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's revisionist history now to make it seem like it's weird, because like people mourn the tragedy of Lil' Kim but then completely like vilify Lauryn Hill for trying to go it on her own. And maybe she made some mistakes, and maybe she made decisions that you wouldn't have made, but like she also had to make a blueprint out of nothing, because it wasn't that guiding hand wasn't gonna be there, because men at the time didn't understand what the fuck she wanted to be or want her to be. That it was show some midriff, let's get them titties smushed together, put on some makeup and do this. And she was very much like a minimalist in terms of like fame, stardom, and all that shit. Like she kind of wanted to, I guess, push away from all of it. On her live album, like Unplugged, like you can kind of hear that, you know. Like I just think it was easier to dismiss, and I mean I'm guilty of it too, because I remember when the Unplugged album came out and my man John, shout out to John from college, was super into that album, and I was like, man, what happened to her? You know, like did she go crazy? Like what the fuck is this, you know? And I remember feeling like bitter towards her, like she owed me something, like, you know, like how you gonna just fucking be so great and beautiful and blah blah blah, and then you just make this album where it's almost like anti everything that people have projected for your career. Everyone had projected her on this path to stardom that was gonna be like everything, you know. She was even acting, she had been a sister act too and shit. Like it was, she was supposed to be it, you know what I mean? And because she never really wanted, she didn't want that as much as other people wanted it for her, I think a lot of people got mad at her about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a person that has grown up and now I'm fucking 40 and I'm like, well yeah, I never had any right to really be mad about the fact that she would rather like raise her kids, keep a low-key life, and not chase this pursuit of fame that people talked about. I still think if she hadn't got in trouble with the IRS, she probably would have never really went back on tour and shit if she didn't want to.
Correct.
Like real talk, I don't think a lot of people push her to do something she's, you know, where it's just like, this is the right thing, this is the smart thing to do for your money, don't go to jail, nigga. And it's like, all right, I guess I'll do it. But I don't think this is necessarily what she covets, this whole, the business part of it, not the music, but the, you know, the let's get glammed up, let's, you know, do 12 interviews with different magazines. I don't think she likes any of this shit. Anyway, she goes on to say, I don't think most people, perhaps not even some celebrated artists, are aware of the battle it takes to be an artist and remain true to what you really think. I don't even practice small talk, so I'm never confused with someone who can be seduced. There are traps all around. Who could look like a successful career in entertainment today? What could look like a successful career in entertainment today could be an addictive lifestyle of convenience attempting to control you tomorrow. I set the tone with every band that working for fame and accolades is a different walk than fighting for personal integrity and making art that doesn't compromise itself for money. I'm confused as to why such a principled musician who thought I stole from his friends would show up to work for me anyway. I'm saying, I asked the same question. If that was hypocrisy or opportunism instead of genuine interest, it would further explain why an artist would feel the need to put his or her guard up. That's not right. Like, it's so weird. He came in with bad energy and then went, I can't believe she didn't like me. It's like, you came in going, you fucking thief, you don't have any right to like to hire and fire your bands, you don't have any right to tell us to change shit, you gonna take what I want. He was Daniel from Insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And then got mad at her about the shit. I don't understand what the fuck. You work, the relationship is you work for her, that's it. The only choice you really have is yes or no, I'll take the check or no. You could have easily said no if you were convinced she was such a fucking charlatan. I don't get it. And you still got a grudge, it's been decades. Anyway, no matter how incredible the musicians who play with me are, my name is on the marquee. The expectation to make it all come together is on me. The risk and financial losses are on me, hence my vibe. Though not the only consideration, is the priority. I'm saying, if the show was fucked up because she said, y'all just do what y'all want as musicians, just play it the way y'all feel like playing, these motherfuckers would have been like, yep, Lauryn Hill had a terrible concert. Not Lauryn Hill, but it was really Robert Glasper. He did some things, you know. And when it is fucked up, it's on her. Nobody ever blamed her band. When it's fucked up, it's just on her. That's it. Few people actually know what the road is like, but many want to judge and comment and having never done it. Try doing what I've done yourself. If nothing else, you will gain some insight into and respect for my process. During the time in question, I also believe I was playing a lot of new music with controversial content. For me, rehearsal was about readying myself for the battle I knew I was entering into, simply not allowing the system to pimp me. If I was on edge, I had a good reason to be. Perhaps my seriousness and militancy in the face of tremendous resistance was misinterpreted as meanness, or that I was unloving or uncaring when my true intent was to protect. I wouldn't be the first black person accused of this. I don't think of Harriet Tubman's skills as those of a hostess. Man, this is the second black woman to bring on Harriet Tubman this week. But rather her relentless dedication to helping people who want it out of an oppressive paradigm. Hashtag I get out. People also unwilling to play the game might have found that environment it refreshing. Straight talk isn't devoid of love, it's just devoid of bullshit. Yeah, I think if anything, what she overestimated people was thinking that they would come and be like on her shit, because she's in an industry that I think is designed to do the exact opposite of what she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't express that up front and very vocal about it, especially since she didn't do any interviews about it and she took such a long time off, I can see how a musician coming into that would be like, nah, we just do it like I do it for everybody else. And she's like, that's not the goal. Like, I actually don't want to just go out here and play the same songs and shit. I actually want to change it up. And it's like, nah, as a musician, I don't want to do that. It's like, wow, well, let's get, you know, I do want to get famous. I do want it to be easy, you know? Which I can't blame a musician, because I understand, like, everybody wants their job to be easy. And just to clear up an old urban legend that somehow people still believe, I do not hate white people. I do, however, despise a system of entitlement and oppression set up to exploit people who are different. I do, see, this seems like it came out of nowhere. It didn't. One of the main reasons she had her career derailed is because a quote was basically attributed to her a long time ago that basically made it sound like she was anti-white people. And it was easy to believe because of the natural hair and the dark skin and the fact that she was quote unquote crazy. And so it ended up becoming like Lauryn Hill hates white people, and so a lot of people ran with that shit. That shit stuck. Like, it's funny, when I was younger, I was like, oh, well, that shit will be, you know, like, that's a blip in the pan and shit. But nah, that shit really did stick in a way that was kind of weird, because it's like, she said that shit in like the height of her career, and now it's 2018.
Yeah,
you know. During the MTV interview, singer Lauryn Hill, the claim is, this is on Snopes, the claim was, she said, I would rather die than have a white person buy one of my albums. It's false. In the 1996, a call to Howard Stern show claimed Lauryn Hill of the Fugees made anti-white statements during an MTV interview, to the effect of claiming she'd rather see her child starve than have a white kid buy her album. Circulated rumors about the inflammatory comment Hill supposedly made varied from telling to telling, including statements such as, if I had known white people were going to buy my album, I would have never recorded it. I would rather have my children starve than have white people buy my albums. I'd rather die than have a white person buy one of my albums. When asked on MTV about the feelings of having the number one album in the nation, the Fugees said they'd rather see babies starve and die than have white kids buy their album. These are the quotes that people said they did.
That statement makes no sense.
Right. That's not what happened. If they said that, or any other member of the Fugees had said anything like that on TV or anywhere else, the tape of those remarks would have been hounded them forever. That no one could produce such a tape or even agree to on what is said by whom, should have driven a stake through the rumor's heart. MTV would later announce the allegation against Hill wasn't true. But by then it was too late. The rumor was already in motion. In the wake of the controversy, Hill did call the Howard Stern show the 21st of May, 1996. It's 2018 now.
Ooh. to rebuke, I was in high school,
right, to rebuke the comment. And on numerous other occasions, she denied saying anything remotely resembling that statement credited to her. During the MTV taping in 1998, for example, she maintained, you know, everybody has to be really careful, you know, what they read and hear, because you never know what's true. You know, a couple years ago, some kid had heard that I'd said that I didn't want white people to buy my records, and that really, really hurt me a great deal, because I like to think that my music is really universal, you know, and I've been everywhere and I have fans everywhere. But because of some rumor that, you know, some radio personality chose to, you know, to say on his radio show, he had a bunch of people believing something that they'd never seen or never heard themselves, but just a rumor. She said, in response to her critics, she offered explanation. What I did say was that I love my people, black people, and I will continue to make music for them. Lauren insisted she wants people to understand that her goal to improve the self-love of young African-American women should never be confused with advocating racial supremacy. That's interesting. I see a lot of people claim to agree with that, but they're the same people running around laughing at Lauryn Hill now. It's just interesting. There are a lot of young black girls who I meet in travels, in my travels, who don't have a lot of self-esteem, she explained. So I communicate to them that they're beautiful. No white person should find fault in that. It doesn't mean that young white girls aren't beautiful, because they are just as beautiful. So yeah, I don't understand. I guess it's like the Tommy Hilfiger rumor that he was racist against black people, and that just nobody confirmed it. Niggas just chose to believe. So anyway, kind of interesting to see her have to take this, since she ain't talked about nothing in 10 years. She's like, and let me remind y'all again, in case y'all trying to make up most shit.
Say something.
This is another reason I think she's super protective and out of the spotlight, because of that shit happening to her. You know, I it's just weird, because she has a story of like some really weird, unfair controversy and shit, and she may have some personal failings and shit. Nobody's perfect, obviously,
right?
But it's like people have exacerbated it to a point where I'm like, what's the goal here? Like, what do y'all get out of shitting on Lauryn Hill? I don't understand, you know. But yeah, I do love the promotion and promotion and preservation of said system at the expense of other people, and the racism and entitled attitudes it gives rise to. The lengthy history of unfairness and brutality towards people of color, especially black people, has not been fully acknowledged or corrected. The expectation is for us to live with abuse, distortion, and deliberate policies meant to outright control and contain us. While we're not aware of our basic right to freedom, I resist and reject these ideas completely. Like many black people, I work to reconcile my own generational PTSD. I do my best to love, pursue freedom in body, spirit, and mind, and to confront. To repress everything in the name of getting along is to deny our right to healing. It's an ugly, distorting, and complicated history at best. We've been shaped by it for better or worse. I just choose not to pretend that it's not there in order to maintain public approval and gain economic advantage. My true white friends and colleagues and I discuss these schemes and machinations and distrust that people of color would naturally have towards such a system and towards those who agree with it. We don't run from those conversations. We run into them, which is why I can call them friends and colleagues. Within these relationships, I can be my complete self, not a splintered individual so repressing the truth about generations and generations of abuse. Man, that's beautiful. Fuck y'all. There were lots of issues, both personal and in the world of entertainment, during that period that needed resolved. I was definitely going through a significant transition. I no longer felt safe. Yeah, see, that's, like I said, it's just fucking weird, because, like, I see these same niggas out here promoting self-care and don't grind yourself to a halt and all this it's such bullshit.
It is.
They don't believe any of this shit. Mm-mm. It's somebody telling you, like, yo, I was fucked up, so I had to take a break. I had to change the way I interact with people. Several things happened that caused me to mistrust dealing with fucking people. People suing me saying the songs that I thought we had an understanding with mine, they're saying, nah, we want more money and we want credit for your shit. Okay, y'all don't normally do that with everybody, but that's fucked up. You had Wyclef, who is supposed to be a partner and a mentor to her career, that ends up having an affair with her and then dropping her, you know, like going back to his wife or whatever. Like, that shit was fucked up. Then you had the quote attributed to her that she hated white people. Like, she was at a point where she was
happening.
It's a lot of shit.
Then did she get pregnant doing too?
Yes, right. She got pregnant. Like, it's just a lot of shit. You know, people in the song to Zion, when she's talking about it, she's like, people was telling me to get an abortion and not have a kid because my career is supposed to be more important than you. And she wrote that song. She's, I mean, I kept thinking about that. She was like 22 writing that song. And that song is so beautiful and deep and inspirational. And motherfuckers really are on some, like, I don't know. It's like, it's just, I don't know if it's some sheep shit or what. It's just so easy to watch people just be like, nah, fuck her. Throw her to the side. That's it. We got what we got out of her. The end. This is weird.
And that's one thing about being quote unquote famous is that we talked about before, but a lot of people really and truly strip the humanity out of everybody else but themselves.
Right.
Like when it comes to them, and as they get bigger and as their, you know, the light gets bigger on them, all of a sudden they want everybody else to treat them with humanity, and that, you know, they want, but when they look at somebody who's bigger than them, you don't have the same compassion and empathy and sympathy that you want for yourself. And the way the system is designed to work you to death. It's literally designed to work you to death until we can't get nothing else out of you. And once you drop dead, we'll just go get something else to replace you. And so that's why people that have any form of longevity, a lot of times, they are in the spotlight, but they limit their spotlight. They limit their interaction with press, you know, and things like that. Like, that's real. You know, people can say what they want to say about Beyonce, but this shit that she did years ago, she just don't do. You just can't. Particularly in my opinion, particularly being brown and being a brown woman, it's one of those things where you're constantly a target. Everything about you is being judged.
Well, let's talk about Beyonce. Beyonce don't do interviews either.
No.
Beyonce has an entire wall around her to make sure that the fame part of her life is separate from her life.
Right.
And motherfuckers thought that shit was weird. Turns out she was 10 years ahead of the game via social media, TMZ, blogs and shit. She turned out to be absolutely correct that the only way to truly live some semblance of a happy life while being uber fucking famous is to basically partition your life away from everybody else. Come out when you want to come out, say what you want to say, always control your own message, your own narrative, to the point where she used to sue people for putting pictures of her on the internet that were like purposely, they would try to like take a picture of her while she was making a face or something like that and be like, look how ugly she is, look how strong she, her legs look. And she, like, she had to go out and fight for that. And Lauren's a person that's like, I fight for this in a different way, where it's more like I fight for my personal space and for my life to be private, and for, because I don't want to do that shit. I fight for my creative and artistic integrity. And I'm like, but dog, like, what's so bad about that? And it's not like I'm out here just caping or standing for somebody that I feel like is truly a reprehensible person. Like, it's not like she's out here on some Azalea Bank shit.
Mm-mm.
Talking shit about everybody, and then she can't take it when somebody got something to say bad about her. This is not that. You know, this isn't Nicki Minaj, you know, trying to do everything to distract from her album being a flop and bringing everybody's business up and saying, y'all niggas should thank me because, you know, I'm the Harriet Tubman of streaming or whatever the fuck. Like, this isn't that. You know, it's just weird to see people turn on her so easy. It's weird how the vitriol to me doesn't match the offense. Because essentially the offense is she didn't show up to some concerts. Okay. But it requires, like, we got to treat her like she's Azalea Banks. We got to treat her like she's Nicki Minaj. We got to treat her like she's, like, some horrible, evil person now. Because she's, quote unquote, arrogant for believing in herself. You niggas are the ones that's mad about an album from 20 years ago. Clearly it must have been hot. Clearly she did something right for y'all to be so mad about this shit. Anyway, there's an entire album about that. It's documented. It's called Lauryn Hill MTV Unplugged. For some, the Unplugged album provided useful insight during dark times, gave important context on some real but hidden issues, and helped people going through personal struggles, because I'd exposed myself in such a raw and vulnerable state. Who are you to say I didn't do enough? Most people are probably just hearing your name for the first time because you dropped mine in an interview, controversially. Taking nothing away from your talent, but this is a fact. It's true. I barely heard of Robert Glasser until he did that interview talking shit about Lauryn Hill.
I didn't know who he was.
So, be mad about it if you want, but that's the truth, and he knows it. The Miseducation was my only solo album, but it certainly wasn't the only good thing I did. Right. That's the other... This shit is like how people hate on Andre 3000 when you be like, yo, Andre 3000, one of my favorite rappers alive and maybe the best rapper. Where, he did albums with Outkast. And bitch, you listen to all of them. What the fuck you talking about? Wait, what does this mean? What's, like, the fuck? Like, rap ain't no relay race, nigga. I know his verses, cause he dope. What the fuck are we talking about? But it's different. Like, that nigga stopped rapping and y'all still be mad when he come around once a year and drop off a present like an absentee father. Be like, come back, Andre, because he was that fucking dope.
Yes.
But then you always throw these extra fucking qualifiers into the equation like, well, it can't be this, that, man, if the album stood the test of time, then the shit stand up. I don't know what to tell you. I throw a Miseducation right now, everybody gonna be in here rocking. It's the fucking truth. And then you got the Fuji albums, where she carried Praz. No disrespect, Praz, but come on. She carried Praz ass. No other diva's ever done that. That's like Aretha Franklin just having like Silk the Shaka and every third verse of her album. Y'all would be like, ooh, goodness, she must have been talented. Because how the hell we get past these verses? Fuck out of here. God damn it, man. People are crazy. Like, that's what makes it so easy to be in the anthill, is because people have gone too far. Like, if it was just some casual, like, jokes about her being late, okay. But this shit was like, she don't even after 10 years of keeping it to herself, she don't get to come out and be like, well, this is my side of things. Oh, bitch, go away. We already made our minds up.
That's what? All that is.
Fuck out of here. I was also a member of the Fugees, another groundbreaking multi-platinum selling group is Robert Glasper selling like this? Is this what's happening? Is he outselling the Fugees and Miseducation and nobody told me? Because maybe that's what it is. I'm over here judging. Turns out Robert Glasper is the Lauryn Hill of jazz, and I've just been tripping. He got more record sales than Lauryn. And if you niggas right up in here talking some more shit about Lauryn Hill, I'm cussing y'all out this weekend. This is not a game, okay? This is not a joke. I will cuss your black ass out. Don't even do it. Stop sending the email. Delete the fucking email right now. Put it in your draft folder. Keep the chuckles to yourself. I'm dead serious right now. I was also a member of the Fugees, another groundbreaking multi-platinum selling group who bridged social and cultural gaps and were ambassadors of hip-hop all around the planet. We laid important groundwork upon which an entire generation of artists and musicians still stand. We broke through conventions and challenged limited worldviews every time we played. The song to Zion gave encouragement to women during challenging pregnancies. There are children who were given a chance at life because their mothers experienced moral and emotional support through this song. I guarantee that's true.
Yeah.
What about the image of black women in hip-hop? When exposure and sexualization of the black female body was a standard, someone stood up and represented a different image entirely, giving a generation of young women options and alternatives of self-representation. Hashtag amnesia. It's the truth, though. Motherfuckers really mad that she... It's like the Kanye thing where, like, like, obviously not now, but when Kanye used to say shit and he'd be like, I'm the voice of a generation, and motherfuckers get mad because he said it. But, like, if Rolling Stone would write, Kanye is the voice of a generation, they'd be like, well, that's true. Some white man said it, that's not Kanye West. So it's true when they say it. She was just very cognizant of her image at the time, man. She's like, yo, I know I was different. I know when I showed up to the fucking award shows and everybody else had on a fucking thong and I had on a goddamn head wrap and some jeans and a t-shirt, I know I was being different. You know, and not saying these other people were worse, I'm saying I was different, and it gave people options that also had dreams and aspiration. It was like, so I don't have to just be the wide leg pussy pose Nicki Minaj to make it. You know, they even tried to sex up the brat, and y'all motherfuckers would tell me that Lauryn's tripping. They had the brat out here in bikinis and shit trying to make a comeback. You know good and goddamn well they was like, listen, the brat, we know you ain't even in the dick or nothing. We need you to put your titties out. I know it's crazy to us too. I know you went from like looking like a cholo and shit. You got to get them titties out, okay? Because men have decided we are not buying nothing we can't jack off to. Fuck that. Anyway. And let's not forget that I am a mother of six. Come on. she never put her family to the side to do her shit, which is something we pretty much ask of all women entertainers. Men, you know, we expect it because men ain't shit, but women, people got pissed when Beyonce said motherhood was her proudest achievement. And it was like white women specifically, like, motherhood, how dare
them bitches, and all they talk about, be quiet, all they talk about is motherhood when you, they do them goddamn interviews.
They on their mommy blog talking about
come
some,
on
talking about some, I don't, just don't get it.
Come on, you and apple and grape and orange taking pictures on your iPhone, posting them on Instagram and how I love my kids. Get the fuck out of here.
You're supposed to be a CEO, Beyonce, and you're here talking about being a mother is a goal. Not only have I been instrumental in pushing forward the culture of live music and hip-hop for decades now, but I've been traveling with and employing a large band for many years, despite the economic challenges in doing so. Others have followed in my footsteps, seeing the value of live music. Show me an artist working now who hasn't been directly influenced by the work I put in, and I'll show you an artist who's been influenced by an artist who's been directly influenced by the work that I put in. I was and continue to be a door opener, even if the blind don't see it and prideful are too proud to admit it. I lived this, you watched this and heard about it. Ooh, she was in her bag right then. She was talking her shit. Woo! She got hot for a second. She's like, and you broke ass ungrateful. That's what I want to say next. 97.9 The Box. Feel free to play my music if you agree that I haven't done enough. I never told anyone not to look me in the eye. That may have been something someone said, assuming what I wanted. However, I would understand why an artist would say that. It's about reaching a level of vulnerability while making our music play your art, or making or playing your art, and not wanting to worry about being examined while you're in the process. So she's like, I didn't even say that shit. So now y'all took a whole ass lie, ran with it for weeks, and now she's like, I didn't even say that. Well, you an arrogant motherfucker anyway. I don't like you. There are plenty of people, I'm sure, who think they know me. This can happen when you do anything that people love or feel that they can relate to. Their perception of me, however, doesn't make it a reality. Sister Act 2 is a movie. Rita Watson is a character I played in a movie, for those confusing that with real life. And yes, Miss Hill was absolutely a requirement. I was young, black, and female. Not everyone can work for and give the appropriate respect to a person in that package and in charge. It was important, especially then, for that to be revealed early. Listen, okay? How many women do we know that are fucking professors, doctors? And motherfuckers really will be like, Miss such and such. Nigga, I have a degree.
Who are you talking to?
The door of my office says Dr. Blankety Blank Blank. You know what I mean? Not auntie.
I ain't got all them alphabets for nothing, bitch. Call me a goddamn doctor.
Right. It's just weird that she can't bring this up. Cause I see the same motherfuckers who bring this shit up in retrospect to their workplace and their lives about the lack of respect for being a black woman. Kikin about the lack of respect this black woman received cause it's funny cause she was late to some concerts. You goddamn hypocrites. Weirdos. I adore Stevie and honor Herbie and Quincy, who are our forebears, but they're not women. Men often can say I want it done like this and not be challenged.
Come on.
The same rules don't always apply for women who may be met with resistance. When this happens, you replace that player with someone who respects you and the office you hold.
Right, because at the end of the day, it's particularly being a female and being over men in general. A lot of men have a problem with women being in charge, and you know, some don't, but a lot fucking do. And a lot of times they don't respect a woman until she goddamn pull rank and say, I'm not here for your bullshit. Like, you have to almost show your ass, but they'll be like, oh, she's serious. Like, they will challenge you till you got to be like, motherfucker, I said blah, 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 blah.
Like, that's what's wild to me is, even during Robert Glasser's interview, he made a point of saying how he called her Lauren instead of Miss Hill.
Right.
And I'm like, dog, just do what the fuck she told you to do. I don't understand why this is such, but we can't examine you. But why is that such a big deal to you? Does she want to be addressed as Miss Hill? You don't know her and you're working for her. What the fuck? What's the problem? Don't take the gig if you that fucking, I need to call you by your first name. Like, get the fuck out of here. You just didn't respect her coming into the door, and then you wanted to ride the wave of all this fucking internet outrage that people have so you could be like, haha, it's like I clowned her too, y'all. Fuck out of here, man. Are y'all even fans of his, or y'all just fans of the fact he talked shit about Lauryn Hill? Anyway, my approach to making music is non-traditional, possibly non-linear, and more of a product of my heart, soul, and experience gained through doing than something I was taught in formal school setting. Not much different than the genre of hip-hop itself. I never held myself out as some accomplished guitar player. I play to articulate better to seasoned players what I want. It's an instrument I learn without any real lessons or instruction. I play in an unorthodox manner, and I use it as a writing tool. Couldn't or didn't tune my own guitar? That sounds like an assumption. I take rehearsal seriously. I take performance seriously. I take my art seriously. My particular preparation process suits me, to each his or her own. My goal is to feel confident and free on stage. I don't think my process is for everyone, which is why band selection is so important. It's not just about how well someone plays, but also their attitude. I'm not offended when people say it's not for them, no more than they should be offended when I say this doesn't work for me. Auditioning, by the way, may have nothing to do with how good a musician is. If a musician isn't accomplished, he or she wouldn't have been called. That was the other weird part. Like, nigga, getting in the door for her doesn't mean like, well, you got the gig, the end, I've heard you play. She like, no, I want some different shit. You might show up and have been an accomplished musician and hate my style of rehearsal. Then you want to dip out and now I'm fucked. Cause, you know, like, not, your ego is too big to follow what the fuck I want to do, so now I'm fucked because you couldn't handle it. And I'm known as the person that just fires musicians and shit now. An audition or meeting could be about whether we vibe well, whether they understood my particular musical vernacular or direction at the time. I could have a jazz beast on keys who couldn't necessarily play reggae or some other musical style. I also incorporated into my performances. My sound is eclectic. I've been influenced by a wide variety of music. Like language, music is all easily translatable. Someone could be a great player but lack the ability to capture the feel of the groove of a particular style. I'm attracted to musicians that are open and excited to try new things. When people think they already know what needs to be known and aren't interested in exploring that what I'm into, that's fine, but it doesn't work for my band. A fair weather band is a complete impracticality or liability even. I'm expected through my art to pour out the depths of my soul. Some days that's easier than others. If the crew of people supporting me aren't built for that walk, they shouldn't be there. Hashtag real talk. Some people vibe well together, some don't. It's okay. Ignorant patriarchy is a bitch though. I could speak volumes. My standards are too high, my process is too idiosyncratic, not to work with people who really want to be there. When I don't have that, I keep searching until I find them. I remix my songs live because I haven't released an album in several years. There's a ton of backstory as to why, but there's no way I could continue to play the same songs over and over and over as long as I've been performing them without some variation and exploration. I'm not a robot. Yeah, that's the other thing. People really just want her to go and perform that album, and she's like, well, I can perform that album, but it's gonna have to sound different. Like I can't just keep doing the same shit. If I had an additional music out, perhaps I would have kept them as they were. I didn't, so I revised and rearranged them according to what I'm feeling in the moment. This way my performances are heartfelt and authentic, not me just going through the motions. I can't imagine why that would be a foreign concept to anyone who appreciates jazz. Exactly, Robert. And the myth that I'm not allowed to play the original versions of my song is a myth. Anyone who's seen my current show knows this. That was the other thing. Everybody who went to the concerts and reported back was like, nah, she did the songs. I don't, like people, yeah, on the Miseducation tour, she's doing the music. Like I said, be mad she didn't show up to the show. I understand. If it's your ticket, especially, I get it. But a lot of you niggas are sitting at home just mad. And y'all needed somebody to be mad at, and here she come. There can also be an energetic or emotional transference when I perform, and it can be heavy and weighty at times. As an artist, I'm tasked with bringing a different vibration into the space that transcends this. Not an easy gig, but an important one. I can imagine there are people who value this process and don't mind waiting a little if it means experiencing something inspired. That's what I'm saying. Gotta get them chakras in line so she can come out there and change the whole energy of the situation. But y'all niggas don't really care about self-care. I see. Me being late to shows isn't because I don't respect my fans or their time, but the contrary. It can be argued that I care too much and insist on things being right. I like to switch my show up regularly, change arrangement, add new songs, etc. This often leads to long sound checks, which lead to doors opening late, which leads to the show getting a late start. This element of perfectionism is about wanting the audience to experience the very best and most authentic musical experience they can from what I do. Yeah. Listen, that one is bullshit, and I feel y'all. I get you on that. I'm not even mad at y'all. That one is bullshit. Like, other artists figured a way out. Lauren didn't reinvent the wheel when it came to this shit. Then they need to start earlier, or they need to do something the day before. Like, it has to be some type of process. It's becoming a thing. It's becoming a albatross around your neck and around your performances. She's clearly decided to live with this, and that people just gonna have to be mad at her, and that's on her. Like, I don't want people to take, because I'm being serious today, I don't want people to take my defense of her as just like ridiculous, because, like, you know, sometimes I am ridiculous at this shit where I'm like, if she late, y'all niggas need to play a board game, you know. But in all seriousness,
right,
I get why people would be upset with the idea of spending hard-earned money and somebody shows up late.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't even like that big a deal, you know. Mm-hmm. What I mean, like, as far as like if you got a problem with her. But some of this shit, man, niggas is overlapping into like complete disrespect. It's like, niggas not even like, what are you doing? Like, she not even, like, she didn't take your money. What are you doing? Like, we can't admit none of this shit was true. None of this could have affected her. Nothing. But I think people like to hold out the concert she missed as, like, definitive proof of, well, I get to then shit on everything about her. And I'm like, y'all didn't do that for Aretha. You know? Y'all not gonna do that for SZA, whose voice is fucked up now, and can't perform. Like, we not gonna do that for everybody. Come on, man. We pick and choose who you do that with. That's all. You know, not everybody's as able to handle the shit like as Beyonce. That's why she's Beyonce. You know, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's disappointment turning into anger. But I just think people should check their anger on this shit, because I don't think it's that. I think people are being more angry than they have a right to be, in my opinion. I reject being pigeonholed or pinned down by someone else's uninformed concept of me. I'm my own person, free to explore my potential like everyone else. Where I am in one chapter of my life isn't necessarily where I'll be in the next chapter. I reserve the right to be an honest artist in those moments and not a fabrication, fake, or phony version of myself, because that's what someone else likes. I don't owe anyone self-repression. Some fans will grow with me and some won't, and that's okay. Life is to be lived, and it's not a full-time performance you put on for others, so people won't have bad things to say about you in interviews. Everybody can learn from that. Hip-hop was born through people who didn't necessarily have traditional musical training, the best tools, and in some cases even instruments, but found a way to express themselves despite that. My art exists because it has a will to exist, like hip-hop. The album inspired many people from all walks of life because of its radical, intense will to live and express love. I appreciate everyone who was a part of it in any and every capacity. It wouldn't have existed the way it did without that involvement. Skill, hard work, and talents of artists and musicians and technicians who were part of it, but it still required my vision, my passion, my faith, my will, my soul, my heart, and my story. Like I said, for the people that want to give all the credit for the miseducation to everyone but Lauren, why ain't there been no other miseducations? I just don't understand. Who put the volume 2 out? When did they just go pick some artists and just be like, well, anyone can do this shit?
Or they can't.
Cause you know I'm telling the truth, cause if it was a formula, they just do like Diddy did in the fucking 2000s, where he just kept putting out a new artist and a new name with the same different type of beats, but
mm-hmm.
same shit over and over again until you was like, it don't even matter who it is. It's Diddy's music. You can't just make another Lauryn Hill. Like I said, I can understand some of the anger being that people are so frustrated.
Correct.
That they never got that second album, and I had the same anger, so I'm coming from it like being fully transparent and honest about it. I remember being mad that I wasn't gonna get, like, this woman wasn't gonna dedicate her career to making me happy with more music that sounded like the miseducation, you know. And I'm talking early, I'm talking, you know, Unplugged. I was already like, what the fuck is this shit? You know, and then you just keep waiting and waiting. It's like, she's gonna be a mom now. She just wants to do that. She's wanting debt with the IRS. She's, you know, like, I'm like, well, maybe she put a new song out, and the songs don't, you know, they're raw, they don't sound anything like the polished Miseducation sound. So it's like, oh, well then I guess she just really is just crazy, and she don't want to be a star anymore. And what about me and my love and my CDs and tapes and whatever the fuck else we used to listen to?
That ownership.
Yeah, it was that ownership of the artist, but I don't own her, you know. And I think a lot of people maybe haven't looked at it in themselves or why they feel so strongly about her needing to be put in check. I think that was kind of I think I'm being more honest than most of the people that are talking about this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hate to be serious about something, because I normally come on here and we get to joke about Lauryn Hill and make all the, like, you know, Ant Hill references and shit. But I did want to take the time to be serious, because people keep getting confused on when I'm serious and when I'm not, when right. I'm joking about this shit.
Yes.
But there's, because there's like kernels of truth in the stuff that I'm saying, but I don't think it's that far-fetched or a coincidence that the same things I was saying about when I was making jokes about some of the stuff about Robert Glasser's interview, that some of it was truthful, you know. So I do think in some ways she was a canary in the coal mine for women in hip-hop, and in some ways she is still the example of what it sounds like when a woman tries to take control of her career. And like I said, the mistakes that come with that, as well as the positives and the toll that it takes out of you. And maybe she wanted to be too much. Maybe she wanted to be that mother six times, and maybe she wanted to be there for her kids' lives and shit in a way that, you know, we're just not used to seeing, and it, that something has to give, you know. I don't think it's a coincidence that her kids got more grown up before she came back.
Yeah,
you know, because even after the IRS shit, she could have went on tour right after that, but she didn't. I don't know, man. I just don't presume the worst about Lauryn Hill, you know, and especially considering that a lot of the negative energy that comes from Lauryn Hill is by, you know, some of the same men that tried to fuck her over, with her career, you know, so I'll just leave it at that. And yes, I agree. Showing up late to concerts is terrible and shit. I totally, like, this, like, dude, if you fucking right up here talking about something, but she be showing up late to concerts, I'm gonna just delete the comment. Cause y'all know that I understand that. And that, like, all jokes aside, not even trying to be funny, I get why that would piss somebody off.
Right.
But the level of vitriol aimed at her toward, like, it's kind of ridiculous. It's
nasty.
It's kind of like some of the shit I've seen people say today. I'm just like, really, nigga? It was that, but you talk more shit about her than John McCain. What the fuck is happening right now?
And he got a bigger impact on, he had gonna have a bigger lasting impact on your life than she ever will.
Yeah, you know what I realized about John McCain? I think I didn't articulate it our last show, but I do want to be clear. The politeness around John McCain's death is why Confederate statues went up.
Come on.
And why they so hard to get back down. Everybody gotta be nice about this man dying. We can't even say he was a horrible person with a horrible track record that hurt a lot of people. We can't even say that.
Yeah, passing fucked up laws.
Right.
Affecting minority and brown people.
But that's too mean, apparently. His law passing, not too mean. But this is too mean. Me saying that dude really hurt a lot of people was a complete piece of shit to folks. Like, that's too mean. People that have on their Facebook page, if you voted for Trump or you support Trump, get the fuck off my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Are telling me that John McCain is not that bad. He supported Trump legitimately in a way that's much more tangible than anybody on your social media. No one in your life has supported Trump more tangibly than John McCain voting with that dude like 90% of the time. And we'll really take like that one time he said no and be like, see? And that's a real man. Like, hey, get out of my face. Like, use some of your Lauryn Hill energy for John McCain.
Come on.
Anyway, alright, I don't even know what to do after this. Mm-hmm. This is gonna be one of those episodes, guys. I'm just talking now.
Did you wanna do topics? Like, where do you,
I'm looking at these topics, go? I don't know.
We do a game, like, guess the race.
Feel like my chakras are out of line from defending Lauryn Hill. Let's do some games. Let me look at fucking with black people. Is there any shit I want to talk about?
Mm-hmm. Everybody got 100. Mm-hmm. Did we talk about Serena?
In the cat suit?
Yeah.
I mean, I was saving it for Balls Deep, but you can talk about it if you want.
No, I mean, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it.
I mean, the French Open says she can't wear the cat suit no more. Which is interesting because the cat suit kind of made a leap in our lifetime from, it made a leap from just like this moment of like, at least for me anyway, pure like sexy, like what, like, oh my God, like everybody remembers where they were at when she wore that motherfucking cat suit. If, you know, at least me as a black man, I know I remember, you know, like, and plus, as a black man that was always in the Serena Hive and was like, now she fine in a motherfucker too, and she'll whoop your ass in tennis. And then to have that moment where motherfuckers tell me she wasn't fine, I could be like, but you see her in that cat suit though? Now what? Like, oh, well, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of people came on board after the cat suit. I remember that moment. But in a way, the cat suit kind of took on a different connotation in the last few years, at least for me. Like, the cat suit kind of became like Garnet in Steven Universe.
Yes, Garnet!
Right? Like, it kind of, like, she kind of transcended. I mean, maybe she already had, but I just couldn't see it. But it transcended, like, this, like, oh my God, I can't believe somebody would wear something so sexy to, this is like her superhero kick your ass uniform. It's like, you see that motherfucking cat suit, and it was, oh, some white women is about to get tennis balls through their chest clavicles today or whatever, their shoulders, and like,
you about to get this motherfucking work,
you know, especially like after she became like a mom, you know, and her coming out there in that uniform, like, I don't know, man, it's like watching Captain America suit up or something. It meant something to me, you know, and to know she was the only one out there like that, and that shit was black, you know, and then when she added a little belt part to it, the little, I mean, it was like that. Serena Williams is the closest we're gonna really get to like, what if there was a Captain Marvel or a, you know, like, what would it take to be the badass that Marvel movies makes women into, you know what I mean? Like, if they would have just put Serena in the Dora Milaje in the background, we would have been like, yes, that makes complete fucking sense.
Yes, it does.
Like, she would be out here handing niggas they ass if they stepped at T'Challa. Of course she would, you know? So, for the French Open to say that her uniform was disrespectful, and they needed her to change it, you know, it does feel like a slap in the face. Cause it's iconic, and I know people watch it cause it's iconic.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you they felt insulted the whole time. You know, like, she, how dare she? Her and her sister have always been outsiders to this very white, very elitist sport of tennis. You know, and they've always let people know they still black.
Yeah, always, always. And the I think the thing that frustrates me about Venus and Serena, like both of them girls, is, well women, but you know, since they've been girls, for me is the fact that I love Serena Williams and Venus like I love Tiger Woods. I only watch when they playing. They ain't playing, I ain't watching, and it's just that simple to me.
Yeah, but you know what though, and this is not, I don't even put them in the same category, because Tiger's a fucking coon.
Yes, he is.
Like, Serena has never said anything. I just want to say, beyond even what you're saying, Karen, I hate to cut you off, beyond even what you're saying, Serena's even higher on the level.
Yes, she is. You see what I'm saying? Yes, she is. But I said that for the fact that I know that I am not the only one that tunes into tennis when she's there.
Right.
Your ratings are higher because she's there. Like Tiger Woods. Say what the fuck you want to say. Tiger Woods is kind of winning again. So guess what? Your motherfucking ratings went up. So, and it's, what's so funny is that, kind of like Tiger Woods, Venus has set standards for women. Women get paid more. she had to show her ass when she came back and was like, look, bitch, when people have kids and maternity leave, you can't strip their rakings. Like, a lot of these white women will probably spit in her goddamn face. She has passed laws to benefit them. She got everybody paid more. She gets more revenue share. Like, she got the women more revenue share. The women's tournament gets sold out before the men's tournament at the biggest finals. You know, she's doing all this shit for a game that actually, they don't want her there. And they've constantly told her that. You test her more than anybody else. You got this other bitch over here that was snorting shit up her nose and doing everything she could to beat her. Got suspended. You know, but you don't give her the visceral, and you didn't test her as much. You motherfucking showing up on my goddamn house talking about a pee, bitch. Like, for me personally, you have got to be a special person. Like, Venus and Serena are special. Like, it's almost like they were designed to deal with the racism. They were designed to deal with the being called niggers when you go to tournament. Like, you got to be a special person, because I would have told him to kiss my ass a long fucking time ago, because the whole time she's been there breaking their records, doing all this miraculous shit, they have done nothing but disrespected her the entire time.
Right. And so, like I said, I would put her even ahead of Tiger, because
agreed,
when you, like, Tiger does a lot to be like, but not too black, y'all calm down,
right?
Like, just black enough where it's kind of cool, but not really. Okay, guys, calm down. Serena does, I mean, Tiger just said people need to respect Trump like 2 days ago. Serena would never,
ever,
would never, you know. And Venus is more laid back, but Serena, I mean, in addition to, you know, like, Venus definitely has some health issues and shit like that, but Serena, we all knew she was younger and would surpass Venus at some point. And she became so dominant and so good, and she's still so black and so committed to her people, and everything she does is like fucking like iconic. It's you know, less, I'm stepping into motherhood like with my fucking foot on motherhood's throat, like just, ah, bitch, it's motherhood, I'm about to tackle this shit, you know. But being transparent and honest and vulnerable and able to talk about like complications with her pregnancy, postpartum depression, you know, she's changing what it means to be the most dominant athlete in an era where we've normally seen a dominant athlete as the impervious, right? It's nothing gets to you. That's why you're great, because unlike other people, we're human. We're like, shit fucks with us. She's like, no, shit fucks with me too, baby, but I'll go out and kick this ass in addition to that.
Right. And on top of the thing for me with Venus, and to me, just black athletes across the board, particularly if you own your blackness, a lot of times, particularly in sports that are predominantly white, or either the black people, but a lot of white people consume it, they want you to be humble. And that's something that she's not. They want you to shrink your blackness, put your blackness down. And she does shit like, she's the only person that whenever they do like the French Open, she does her interviews in French.
Right.
You know, nobody, none of these other people is fucking learning French so that they could do it right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just amazing the level of disrespect that they give somebody who actually, if it was not for her, would the women's, particularly women's tennis, be where it is now? You know, I'm not trying to be funny.
It's not just tennis, the women's salaries of some of these opens.
Right.
Like, niggas wouldn't even be making money if not for her. It's crazy. It's fucking, it is bananas. And then for them to say it was disrespectful, like, we need to respect the French. Oh, it's just stupid. And then she, of course, still had the classiest response. Like, it's no big deal, they've told me, because she's always gracious. I don't think there's even space for black people not to be gracious when this shit happens to us. But still, even despite all that, she's always gracious. She never gets angry. There was a tournament where they called her nigger, and she stopped going to that tournament for a while. And she came back and played there again, and I don't have it in me to do it, what she did. No, she whooped their ass, of course, and won, but still, the point being, like, there's something inside of her that is just so fucking, ethereal, and so
right, you have to be made of something special.
It's almost regal to consider, like, mm-hmm, this kid from Compton is in this space dominating these elitist ass white people who truly do believe they are better in every way, and then there's this one place where they can't pretend they're better, because tennis as a sport is essentially at that level when you're both playing against each other with racket to racket, a meritocracy. And at that point, she has the most merit almost every time. And then it crushes the illusion of the supremacy that they're taught and have bought into and continue to permeate. And so, you know, they take shots at her in the ways, in the most, the ways that they feel like they can. Now, keep in mind, this cat suit is not simply for us to be like, god damn, mm-hmm, all that ass. It also serves a purpose of helping with her blood clots and stuff, right, which we know she had complications during pregnancy about blood clots, mm-hmm, like almost into her life type shit. So we know that she has struggled with this, and they're like, yeah, even with it having a actual purpose, we would not want you to wear this. And she could have called their bluff and been like, well, I'm wearing it, now what? Like, okay, cool. I'm gonna just show up to the tournament and I'm gonna walk out there in my cat suit and I dare a motherfucker pull me off the court. Now what? Or she could have said, I boycott the tournament, I'm not going back.
Yeah, because I didn't realize. Yeah, that makes sense. Somebody said Nike did it. Yeah, that's why Nike started doing a bunch of commercials and shit promoting her in that cat suit, because they were the one that made it. And I don't know if it's true or not, but they were saying that all of a sudden they was like, well, we might consider rescinding, because motherfucker was like, the bitch, what?
Right. But like, and honestly, if it wouldn't be for her graciousness, I mean, if she's the biggest name. She made the most money of any women's athlete last year. If she wanted to be like, actually, you know what, Nike, pull all the shit out of this and I'm pulling out, who knows what kind of fucking stink it could have been. She was just like, it's cool, I'm gonna just kick their ass in a dress, like, who gives a fuck, like, I'll wear pants and kick their ass, I don't give a fuck, somebody getting their ass kicked,
all right, she might
see come. Y'all at the French Open when y'all hand me the trophy and I'm speaking in French, I might see walk on y'all niggas one more time.
Shit, she the type of person, she be like, hey Nike, make me some Nike pants.
Right.
Don't you think Nike won't do it? She'll come out there with some brand new Nike swoop pants on y'all bitches.
Right. Give me a Nike thong and come let's on. Just fucking do this. Y'all see my cheeks flapping while I whoop y'all ass again. Like, it's just ridiculous. But that Nike did put out an ad, I think, yesterday. I'll play it here.
This is you at the US Open. This is you. This serious motion. Boom! Very good. Keep that perfect service motion you have. Right there. Good. Boom! Switch to the backhand. Lean into it. Woo! Good follow through. Take the net. Nice try. Make sure you're controlling that ball on every shot. There you go, very good. Back. Put it away. Be tough, just like you want to win. Just like you at the U.S. Open. Right there. This is you. Very good, Serena Williams.
And say, it's only crazy till you do it.
Oh.
Just do it, Nike.
And gonna make me cry, sorry.
Nah, so it's beautiful, right?
And the thing is, people underestimate parents that believe in their children. It took a daddy having a dream and a vision that his daughters was gonna be great and telling them they were gonna be great before they even could understand or even begin to comprehend where their lives were going. Mm-hmm. The daddy was like, no, you're gonna be great at this. He said, you can't see it now, we're out here in Compton, mm-hmm, but you are gonna be at the U.S. Open. Could you imagine the vision and the hope and the faith that you have to have going to tournament after tournament, traveling with your children, knowing that they were going to have to face this adversity, you know, going to these places and some of the places weren't safe, and be like, what the fuck y'all not going to do is come over here and disrupt tennis time, you know, and going to these places and even before they can understand him and his mother and their mother dealing with discrimination and racism and shit like that, way before Venus Serena probably could even understand it. And it's like, it's really important to push your children's dreams and passions, because yeah, that's, they did that video years ago, and I'm pretty sure when they was there in the moment, you know, I'm pretty sure she started visioning it too, you know. And it's one of those things where you sit back and you just think of how beautiful that is. And you know what this also shows is that she got good sponsors, because probably also one of the another reason why they might be considering and rescinding it, if they do, is because Nike started pumping out these commercials in her in that goddamn cat suit. You know what wouldn't surprise me? If the cat suit went up in sales,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you fuck around and you have women in cat suits at your U.S. Open and protesting. You know, be like, well, bitch, I want one too now. You know, I'm like, hey, I want a cat suit too.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is, you know, I remember when I first saw Venus and Serena and shit, and I was like, I remember people talking about them like they were boys,
right?
They were ugly, they were poor, all this shit, and we watched like tennis become this vehicle for them to, you know, succeed and exceed everybody's expectations. Now I think of their father a little bit different than most people, where they like, oh, he just believed in his girls and stuff. I mean, I feel you, but I think what he did was he looked at tennis and said, oh, them little white girls ain't got nothing. We about to come up. Like, I think he said, oh, they just give away money. You know, they give away money for this shit. Oh, free money. Oh, y'all go and get two tennis rackets. Let's go out here and take these white people money. Like, you know, just sitting in the crowd, listening to these motherfuckers say racist shit about his daughters, being like, but we going home with this tournament trophy again. And it did, you know, obviously, you know, I'm joking a little bit,
I
mean, I think he definitely was like, man, we about to run these white people. White people don't understand how segregation and racism and bigotry really weakens everybody.
Correct.
You know, it's the reason that, you know, when baseball was segregated, it wasn't that good. Mm-mm. You know, it's the reason everybody's always gonna look at these records people set in like the ABA and shit. They get thrown out immediately. We're like, wait, so when niggas couldn't play, y'all was counting the records? No, we don't care about that. You know, like
y'all really wasn't getting the best of the best, because that's the thing. It's amazing how, you know, people say the best of the best, but do you really got the best of the best in a lot of these sports?
And then the second that they get black people on some team, they dominate the fuck out of everybody, and then it becomes an arms race of let's get some niggers in here. Like, every sport is like goes through the same fucking shit. That's how stupid racism is. You could have started with, hey, maybe we should bring black people in and allow folks to slam dunk. Instead, they're like, no, we like
boring. We like the fundamentals.
Peach basket, underhand buckets only, please. Whoa, slow down.
Hard pass.
That break right there was getting a little too fast. We like medium breaks.
Chest pass.
Like, it's just wild shit, man. As soon as black people get interested, they end up dominating the shit.
I know, none of that fancy footwork.
And a lot of these sports like soccer and tennis and hockey and baseball use money to separate, to take place of racist policies.
Correct.
So it's like, oh, it's not easily accessible to people who can't afford it, but surprise, bitch, not every black person poor. And often there's a will, when there's a will, there's a way, because profit incentive says, let's go recruit some black kids that can be good at this thing.
And
I gotta go to the next session.
No problem. And also the thing is, they gonna fuck around, particularly I think with soccer and some of these other sports. I think that niggas gonna get in them and they're gonna start dominating, because for a lot of people, particularly when it comes to football, a lot of people are pulling their children out of football, but like, nah, what you ain't gonna do is go get your head bashed in. And so like that's real. Like a lot of parents are like, no. So parents, like you say, everybody ain't poor, so parents gonna be looking for other avenues. So you know, you're gonna have the little kid that, you know, ran around like crazy and had great hand eye coordination, all of a sudden running up and down the field at the world open.
Yeah, you need to bring yourself over, by the way.
Oh, my bad.
But yeah, I think that is one of the incentives to, like, they get territorial and they don't want us over there.
Correct.
But it just hurts everybody, and the kids that do get to play end up being less good because they're playing against worse competition. And but a lot of times when sports is considered as a resources and a means to get money, you end up with these people that isolate black people out of it. You know, the NFL and college football still has this problem at quarterback.
Correct.
Quarterback has become a position where they put a lot of money into what makes somebody good, getting the best training, going to the best camps, the best equipment. And what ends up happening is black kids can't afford to be a quarterback. You know, this, like, this shit is, it's a rigged system. But every once in a while, a black person being excellent surpasses even the shit they've rigged and starts whooping ass. And then now we gotta stop wearing cat suits. And now you gotta wear your pants, you gotta wear a suit on the sideline of the NBA. Now you gotta, you know, it's always just some shit. No celebrating in baseball. It's just always some weird ass, you know, cultural shit. Like, we don't like these touchdown dances. The touchdown dances go away. Nobody wants to watch the game. You guys can dance in the end zone again. We were tripping. You know, it's just this weird, like, we'll take the black. We don't want the culture.
Come on.
You know, and I know they got insulted when she see Walt. I know they hate that she's pro Black Lives Matter and talks about issues of race. I know they hate that she brings up issues of gender, and still separates out that black women get it worse than white women. I know they hate that shit. You know, and then what they hate the most is she says it and then she goes out and kicks their ass. You know, but yeah, I mean, 100. I didn't have it on the topic. I just used her as a show art because I just thought that picture I saw her, I just was like, this is like a queen in this picture. Like, she's in a cat suit. She just won. And like I said, it's not even on some, like, look at all that ass. Which, hey, I'm a cishet man. Obviously, I'm still trash or whatever. She can sit on my face after a match. I don't give a fuck. But it's not just that. Like, it was something about just the way that she was smiling and waving in that uniform. And you know, she just dominated these niggas. And I was like, yo, she's on a whole other level. And she's so graceful with it. And she just handles all the bullshit with such ease. I don't know when she's gonna release her tell all book one day.
Oh, it's gonna be,
but I know it's gonna be full of, like, they was calling me nigga, they was this, you know.
I'll be the first one to get a copy.
I want to know what she thought about Maria Sharapova and Sharapova's portrayal of her as this intimidating black body that was just so, I was so scared of her and shit. You know, like, she just has mastered the appearance of, and I guess this goes to her father too, you know, Richard Williams. Like, she has legitimately just mastered this, like, none of it gets to me. Like, I don't know if it, I think it does get to her because she's human and she talks about the things that get to her, but this is one where she doesn't get them the satisfaction of letting them know it gets to her. Like, she just, like, look, these motherfuckers racist, I hear it, but I'm gonna just continue to kick ass and worry about that. And I think one day she is gonna open up and be like, so yeah, let me tell y'all about these motherfuckers, and I can't wait. All right, let's see what else is going on. What else should we do? I would do trash real quick. Let me do that. I'm not gonna play the sound effect, just gonna get right into it.
No problem.
Louis C.K. has already come out at a show on Sunday night. He performed an unexpected set at the Comedy Cellar and ended up getting a very hearty crowd standing ovation before he even began.
I can see that.
And it's been less than 10 months since he you know, kind of took himself out of the public discourse by not performing this shit. I don't know if his movie didn't come out or it just came out the small fanfare or whatever. He said, I'll step back and take a long time to listen. And that was 10 months ago. So he did a 15-minute set that touched on what Comedy Cellar owner Norm Dowerman called typical Louis C.K. stuff, racism, waitresses, tips, parades. He did not, according to the report, address the behavior that prompted his brief disappearance, but the audience, a sold-out crowd of about 115, greeted him warmly with an ovation even before he began. Not surprised.
Mm-mm.
You know, I think, you know, I think he's gonna have a bunch of people that defend him and shit. That's just kind of what it is. Yeah, his male colleagues in the comedy world gave him some encouraging responses. Comedian Mo Almer, who was on the show's billing, told the Times the surprise was like a wow moment for the crowd, and then added his material was like classic Louis, really, really good. Classic Louis, really, really good. Michael Ian Black tweeted his support for CK, which I thought was stupid. What an own goal. Just don't say shit, bro.
Mm-mm.
He tweeted support of CK along with a link to the Times story. We'll take heat for this, but people have to be allowed to serve their time and move on with their lives.
What time? He ain't go to jail, nigga.
Right. I don't know if it's been long enough or his career will recover or if people will have him back, but I'm happy to see him try.
Oh, he'll be fine. Nobody gets canceled. You give it a few more months, he'll be touring across the country again with sold out tickets.
I'm trying to understand what serve his time means, and I'm trying to understand what people think redemption really looks like.
Oh, serve his time mean he got the spotlight. Serve his time mean he quote unquote didn't make no money. Probably still made money from, because he does a lot of shit. Don't think his shit wasn't selling. Yeah, serving his time means that you wouldn't quote unquote in the limelight. Yeah, he didn't go to jail. No charges were ever pressed. What time are we serving?
Yeah, it's just, it's 10 months like some really long time, and I just don't understand, like, considering in that 10 months, like, he hasn't addressed it any further. He hasn't done publicly anything that would look like some level of work to it. Maybe that stuff is something that happened behind the scenes, but it's almost like you would have to show your work to then just return to the public spotlight 10 months later, like, it's all good now. I think maybe he never intended to do any work, quote unquote, or make any amends. I think, you know, he was like, I've been a bad boy. Men.
Shame on me.
Men get more sympathy in public for this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We make their behavior about them being the victim of their own behavior, not what they did to people. And yeah, people have been feeling behind the scenes, poor Louis C.K. All he did was pull his dick out and masturbate in front of some women that happened to be fellow comedians. And I mean, it's not like he raped anybody. It's not like he touched anyone. He just was inappropriate. Boys being boys. And I think his behavior, and along with like Aziz Ansari, in the spectrum of things that men have done in the Me Too era, quote unquote, has been on the lower spectrum. And so people go, okay, the punishment for them is like, we all just go, that was weird, and then we move on, essentially. And I don't know what the right punishment is. I think it's just easy. Like, I recognize the other side of this, which is, of course, for the vast majority of people, it's the Papa John's conundrum all over again. Most motherfuckers that are anti Louis C.K. at this point are really anti, he should never come back.
Right.
I don't think they would ever admit it, but it's the truth. He could take all the steps in the world and they would be like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. That creepy ass nigga needs to never work again. And I'm not even begrudging them. I think maybe their dishonesty is rooted in, some denial. Cause I don't think they would ever admit to themselves, like, I don't think there's anything this dude can do.
Mm-mm.
You know? And cause then they look like the bad guy. Cause then you go, well, he's not a fucking rapist or anything. I mean, this nigga can never work again. Like, that's it. And I think they don't want to be mean and be like, yeah, never. Not in this lane. Nothing. I don't want to see this nigga like,
never, 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 never again. Because the thing is, it's like, he's in a position of authority. And all he's gonna do is get right back in that position of authority.
Right.
And if there's nothing changed, the behavior will not change. So you're gonna put him over fucking women again.
And my thing
for him
is,
to abuse.
I guess what I'm saying is, even if he would do the right things, quote unquote, whatever they are, take some classes, speak about it, donate money, uplift women's voices that are serving these causes and shit, whatever, you pick the things you think he should do.
Right.
At the end of that day, at the end of all that process, there's a lot of us who will still be like, fuck him, and I don't want him to ever work again. And I think there's a truth to that. The problem is, we have never been there. like we can't even, like, before I can have sympathy for the devil gotta go through some things. The devil ain't never done nothing. Like, all these niggas take a week off and come back and everybody's like, so bright. We applaud them like, I don't know, soldiers returning from war or some shit. I don't know, like, you picked the analogy, but we applaud them like an activist getting let out of prison when they were put in there unfair, like,
right.
God. Michael Ian Black said served his time. Served his fucking time, dog. Like, what are you talking about? You know, it's just like the failing of the Me Too movement, quote unquote, is gonna be men. It's not gonna be women. It's not gonna be people that have been abused. It's gonna be men who ultimately are the arbiters of the culture and in powerful positions that do not have the stomach to stick to the ideals that they claim to uphold when supporting these women. That's all. That's what the failure is gonna be, because these men could not wait. These fellow comedians who have names in the industry, they're not nobodies,
right?
You know, they could not wait to exonerate him. Well, he's just doing Louis stuff. He's back. I'm just glad to see him back on his feet. I was worried about him. Yeah,
them connections.
Yeah. Well, were you worried about the women that he assaulted? Because some of y'all, or that he, I guess it still is technically assault, but you know what I mean. The women mm-hmm. that he harassed, some of them, like, I don't see, like, y'all in their industry, y'all know some of their names, and y'all don't talk about them.
Mm-mm.
You know? I don't know, man. I just think, like I said, I hate to be pessimistic, but I've been saying for a minute, shit from inception, the Me Too movement is kind of doomed, and people need to get as many people as they can get while getting is good.
Mm-hmm.
Because essentially, men do not have the stomach or the perseverance to watch other men be punished.
Because
all of them are just thinking, there for the grace of God go I. Because a lot of these powerful, normally rich white men have done some shit. And now I'm not saying it's only white men, because obviously power and patriarchy is not exclusive to just whiteness.
Mm-mm.
But and a lot of times the trappings of it are specifically being able to do women like this,
right?
So anyway, I don't think it's I don't know. I was not surprised to see that he came back. I wasn't Mm-mm. surprised to see people defending him.
Mm-mm.
And I'm sick of people trying to put the status quo as the brave position to hold, because it ain't. People do this all the time. Well, I just think you know, the people are giving black people movie awards for Black Panther because it's black. Oh, you mean the same thing racist white people think? Okay, so brave of you to say racist shit. Who would think you would come out and say that? Let me guess, you also hate women. Oh, wow. So you think it's brave for you to say that some of these women are lying about rape. Wow, so brave. So, wow. Not that we have centuries and decades of fucking precedent to back up that your bigoted, stupid, regressive-minded ways of thinking are the actual norm. I think men should be allowed to come back. They have been and will continue to be, and no one's been stopped.
Right! I don't know why people think people don't bounce back.
You're so brave to say what happens already. And to say that you support the status quo and not changing the way that we qualify these things. Oh my God. Wow. Thank you. Well, I just think if you rape somebody, your life shouldn't be ruined forever. Apparently it hasn't been. Mm-hmm. All these niggas getting back out of jail, some not mm-hmm. even going.
Right.
What are we talking about? It's just, I hate when people do that shit, man. They always do the, like, Michael Ian Black framed that shit. Like, I just think he did his time, and it's good that he returned. Like, so you think everything that rapists think too, or just what is going on? All right. By the way, I could do 1,000 of those. Like, I saw a woman do a, I saw a woman saying that shit about feminism the other day. I was like, okay, all right. Like, you know, feminism has done this and it's not religious enough and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, the same religion that raped 1,000 children. And I mean, maybe they own something. Have you thought about that?
No.
Feminism's never raped 1,000 children. I don't know. Mm-mm. Not in Philadelphia. One state. That's it. 300 priests.
Come on.
Pope in Ireland says Francis faces call to resign over abuse cover-up claim. As the pontiff brings a curtain down on his historic two-day visit to Ireland, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano has called on him to quit over his response to the global scandal still enveloping the church.
I don't see why.
Francis used a speech at Mass in Phoenix Park on Sunday to ask forgiveness for abuses committed by members with roles responsible in the church, which allegedly includes American Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. Asking forgiveness. New Pope. Seem like it's the old formula in the new Pope. Cause ain't that the old formula? Let's ask forgiveness for God, fuck the police and the victims and anything else. The main thing that's important here is that we all understand that, you know, we need to forgive them, our brothers in Christ. Whoopsie.
My bad.
It's a sin, you know, like gluttony's a sin or, eating shrimp before the New Testament is a sin. Like,
it's just, that cotton.
The 88-year-old resigned last month over claims of sexual abuse against a 16-year-old boy. Francis accepted McCarrick's resignation as a cardinal last month after a U.S. church investigation found that an accusation he had sexually abused a minor was credible. Archbishop Vigano has said he warned Francis about the allegations shortly after he became pope in 2013. But this guy's the moral barometer of the new church. Okay. In an 11-page statement, the Archbishop compared cover-ups of abuse within the church to a conspiracy of silence not so disfamiliar from the one that prevails in the mafia. Pope Francis has repeatedly asked for total transparency in church. Archbishop Vigano, a frequent critic of the Pope, wrote in a letter, which was carried by the National Catholic Register and several other conservative media outlets in the U.S. and Italy. Yeah, so they don't like this Pope because he's too liberal for the conservatives. Because he doesn't just outright say, I hate gays and, you know, all this shit. But at the same time, he still covered up child sexual abuse. So I'm surprised that they didn't do a 180 and go, actually, you know what? Not a bad pope. Doesn't hate the gays, but he does let us abuse people. I mean, hey, take the good with the bad. But that's just how dogmatic the right wing is right now. In this extremely dramatic moment of the universal church, he must acknowledge his mistakes, and in keeping with the proclaimed principle of zero tolerance, Pope Francis must be the first to set a good example for cardinals and bishops who covered up McCarrick's abuses and resigned along with all of them. The Vatican has not commented on the accusations, which include an assertion that other top officials were warned about McCarrick, one of the highest ranking figures within the church, as early as 2006. Mm-hmm. We ask forgiveness for the abuses of Ireland, said the Pope. Abuses of power and conscience and sexual abuses perpetrated by members with roles of responsibility in the church. Now, this is in Ireland. Keep in mind, we had one in the U.S. too. In a special way, we ask pardon for all the abuses committed in various types of institutions run by males or female religious and what or female. Okay, I guess all lives matter on this one, huh? Right. It's the one time where men and women equal,
right? Any other time women can't be in positions of power.
And by other members of the church, we ask for forgiveness for those cases of exploitation through manual work that so many young women and men were subjected to. We ask forgiveness. How about you ask the police to come pick some of y'all niggas up? Ahead of the gathering tweeted, Ireland is a different country to 39 years ago, but this visit has caused us to reflect more deeply on the relationship between Ireland, the church, brought to Ireland centuries ago. I don't understand. Tens of thousands of people gathered to see this dude, man. I don't know. I don't get religion, but part of this is not on me. You would think that these scandals would be a death knell for a lot of people, and yet people still romanticize the church. They still romanticize that era where the church, people were going to church every day. They were more religious and they were more moral. It's like, were they more moral? Or were they just not talking about it?
Right.
Were they more moral, or were they being sexually assaulted by people in power that they couldn't even speak about because the police weren't going to do shit and neither was the church? Ah, God, ridiculous trash, all of them. All right, let's move on to Guess the Race. Try to do something funny before we leave. Guess the Race, where's my music? Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Ba-da-bum. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen, and the chat room to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is racist. All right, let's get into it, guys. An Oklahoma woman allegedly killed her roommate over text to an ex-fiance.
Oh shit!
Roommates. This is some Issa and Daniel roommate shit.
I hope not.
I mean, why would you kill your roommate over text to an ex? An Oklahoma woman is accused of killing her roommate after she found text messages with her ex-fiance. Oh, her ex-fiance. Kristen Elizabeth Jones, 21, allegedly shot her 23-year-old roommate Miranda Peterson, in the head, and then covered up the murder by setting the house in Luther on fire.
Wow!
Jones' ex-fiance, Bryson Harrington, lived at the house with both women. The alleged shooting occurred when Jones discovered Peterson had been exchanging texts with Harrington. In a phone call monitored by authorities, Jones told Harrington that Peterson first stabbed her in the hand. Jones then allegedly grabbed a gun, shot Peterson in the back of the head, according to the police. She also reportedly admitted to burning down the home to cover it up because she got scared. Hickory Hills Fire Protection District responded to the home around 9:45 a.m. Monday after the fire chief spotted the smoke. That's unfortunate. While at the scene, putting out the fire, they discovered a body inside the home. They immediately called the sheriff's office, and we called our homicide investigators to the scene. She didn't get away for nothing. It was like, this is a murder.
Right.
Authorities said they learned Jones fled the state and pulled her over Monday afternoon at a traffic stop in Gainesville, Texas. She was booked Tuesday in the Oklahoma County Jail on suspicion of murder, arson, and desecration of a human corpse. Guess the race of Kristen Elizabeth Jones.
White.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what y'all believe. White. I'm not going to be ignored. White. Laverne and Shirley. White. Recently saw Goodfellas and tried it. White. Cheddar. White. Single. White. Female. White. Cracker. Bunny Boiler. White. All right, the correct answer is she would get offended at Serena Williams' cat suit. White.
Yeah, she did that shit.
Yeah, she look a hot mess in this picture.
Yeah, she is. She bedhead. She just woke up.
Well, she was in the car when they got at a traffic stop, so maybe she slept in the back of the
car. She probably did.
Back of the police vehicle. Let's see. How about in Men Are Trash edition? A man installed a hidden camera in the bedroom of a woman he wasn't allowed to date, police say.
What?
Yeah. When a Fuqua Varina man said that he had romantic feelings for his friend's 27-year-old daughter, the friend told him the woman was too young for him. So the police believe the 39-year-old man, Brian Keith Fisher, installed a hidden camera in the woman's bedroom and secretly captured images of her for 3 months.
What?
He said I couldn't date her, didn't say I couldn't masturbate to her. I don't know. Fisher was charged this week with one felony count of secret peeping. according to an arrest warrant filed with Wake County courts. Investigators say Fitcher secretly installed for the purpose of arousing sexual desire a high definition camera to capture video and images of the woman without her consent.
Oh, he wouldn't got the good camera.
The alleged offenses occurred between April 1st and June 29th. Ooh, that's so many times. Did you took a shower, got undressed? According to the arrest warrant, the victim told police June 29th that she had found what appeared to be a hidden camera in her bedroom. The device, which looked like a USB wall charger, was located on a desk and plugged into an extension cord that was concealed by furniture, according to a search warrant. He kept that shit in there for from April to June, like 90 days or some shit almost. When the woman's father plugged in the device, it showed up on his password protected Wi-Fi, and he became suspicious. Yeah, because that means whoever did it had the password to the Wi-Fi too.
In order to stream it.
When the woman's father the man told detectives that Fisher had previously expressed romantic feelings towards his daughter, but the father would not give his approval because of the 12-year age gap between them. Also, it's weird. Hey man, I know me and you friends, what you think about me dating your daughter?
No.
Nigga, you hang out with me to watch football.
With me.
This ain't no fucking,
another grown ass man.
This ain't no Brazzers porn parody ass shit, nigga. This is
right.
Life.
You ain't meet her and then come by. No, right. No.
Police searched Fisher's home, found packaging for hidden camera in a kitchen trash can. Oh, oh. God. Now here's what I don't understand, guys. Listen to this. The nigga installed it April 1st. The fuck is this trash still doing in his trash can? And it's been 90 days.
He didn't throw it away. What did he was like, I'm gonna go get it back and just before the warrant to run out?
Right. What was the plan? Why wasn't this discarded 90 days ago? What the fuck was the plan?
I was gonna use that Best Buy warranty.
He's like, I kept the receipt just in case. I only need 90 days of seeing these titties. Then I'm gonna
return it.
Just gotta sneak back in her room. Like, did he find out they were coming over and then went, I gotta get rid of evidence? In the kitchen trash can. The police will never look there.
Never.
What a fucking idiot. The victim's father told police that Fisher had house sat for the family in May and knew the Wi-Fi password. He also said Fisher had been acting odd about after the device was disabled. They cut the device off like, take this shit out. Someone's spying on us. And all of a sudden, while they was, as soon as they turned it off, like, take this shit off the Wi-Fi, unplug it from the wall. That's all right. Who the hell could be calling?
I'm all right.
Hello?
I'm just calling to see, was that some form of a password change?
What, Brian, why are you calling here right now? This, it is 1 a.m.
I mean, I'm just asking, you know, cause I did have the Wi-Fi password, but all of a sudden, you know.
Why you want to know the Wi-Fi password, Brian?
It just wasn't working, you know.
This is a very odd time. You're not even at my house right now. You calling about the Wi-Fi password at 1 a.m.
I'm just concerned about your Wi-Fi safety.
You are acting kind of odd. That's all I know. Okay. You are acting really suspicious right now.
I'm acting no. I'm not acting suspicious at what would ever give you, sir.
He was over there like, hey, real quick, put your daughter on the phone though.
Right.
Real quick, can I talk to your daughter for a second? Okay, all right, cool. All right, well, look, all right, I get it. It's a little inappropriate. What your daughter got on though? What she wearing?
He was like, whatever you do, don't move the furniture around.
Right. What she got on right now? Can you just like kind of describe her too? If she can't, I mean, you put her on the phone, she can say it. Okay, no, you.
I know, but like, does she, is some of your towels pink? What are you talking about?
Them titties still sitting like they do with that little birthmark on the left side. Oh, you know what? I gotta go. Police is knocking on my door for some reason. Hold on 1 sec. I gotta throw something in the trash can. Hey man, I'll call you back, man. Fisher initially denied putting the camera in the woman's bedroom, but minutes later told officers he had installed the device. He was taken down to Wake County Jail. He's been held on $5,000 bail. Court records show. Guess the race.
What's his name?
Brian
Keith Fisher is white.
I already checked the chat room to see what they believe. Creepy ass cracker white. I didn't know I couldn't do that, White. White also recorded his passionate defense of Lucy K. White. Oh. Promise keeper member, White. I was only jerking off to her. I didn't date her. I don't see the problem, White. who else but Quagmire White. A brother would have just looked up through the window. White. Billy Baldwin Silver White. What kind of nasty ass ex-hamster shit is this? White. And White Fisher fishing for young cat. White. Young cat. Did a 60-year-old black man sneak into the comments?
I know, but a nigga, I'm not buying no HD camera. I can just sit outside the window.
Young cat sound like something an old man to say.
I know, cat daddy.
Y'all get some of that young cat, young blood. Anyway, y'all all right. He's white. He got a creepy face.
In a creepy headline.
All right, bonus round.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far,
we can Karen see your screen.
Two. Oh God, no! What is happening? Why is this doing this? No.
I don't know.
Oh, that just gave away the answer. Hold on a second. Now it's ruined. Anyway, bonus round, Karen's 2 for 2. We'll do a different story.
Okay. I was looking like, why am I seeing the screen change?
We'll do a different one. That was a good one, too. I'll save it for another day when everybody's forgotten.
You know I won't remember.
St. Francis Hospital guard accused of having sex with a corpse.
Oh,
Memphis, Tennessee, a St. Francis Hospital security guard was arrested after witnesses told police they saw him having sex with a corpse. Cameron Wright.
How did he get a hold of him with the security guard? Was he walking around securing shit and was like, hey, who left this here? His shoulder looks sexy, looking kind of stiff.
I guess I'm gonna have to be a bodyguard. It's two things stiff in this room.
You and me.
Cameron Wright was charged with abuse of a corpse. Two witnesses told police they saw Wright act with a female corpse in the hospital's body storage room Wednesday. They saw him in the act?
What?
Dog, what were you doing?
I told you, he was walking around and looked up and just was like, this is what I'm about to do. And guarantee you, that's not the first time he's done that.
Yeah, I can't imagine it would be. I mean, it sound like a bold act that you try once. He probably got away with it.
Right, he knew where that kept the bodies at.
It was like, he did.
Right? He's like, I know where to go.
Hey, where the body's at?
Come on.
In the supply room where the Bacardi at.
Yes!
I got some courses in here, all of that. You know, I can't forget about my corpse. Oh, sorry, guys. That one's on me. Yeah, so two witnesses say they caught him in the act with a female corpse. Because he ain't gay. You know what I'm saying? I ain't no homo.
I just gotta be sure when I'm fucking them, they gonna be all female.
When I fuck a corpse, it's all woman, baby. Okay.
Clarissa, she says the news of what her brother's accused of doing here in a hospital storage room has just sent jolts throughout her entire family. She says even before this, there were warning signs. Something just wasn't quite right with her brother.
Oh, shit.
Tonight, she wants him to seek mental
health.
What
could the warning sign of fucking a corpse be?
Right?
And that's so wrong. And yet, two men say they witnessed it. 23-year-old
Why is it freezing?
Oh, doing that delay.
Yeah.
Cameron Wright having sex with a dead woman in a body storage room.
He used to fuck roadkill, but we never thought he'd do this.
Oh, and could you imagine? That gotta be devastating.
It's at Francis Hospital.
What'd you say?
Could you imagine? That gotta be devastating for the morgue. Because, you know, they clean the bodies and shit like that. You clean the body, you know.
A lot of the corpses lately have been filled with sperm. Did all did everyone die having sex? I don't know.
I mean, they didn't tell me. They didn't say nothing about a sexual assault.
I don't know. It's just sperm over everyone lately. It's just everybody. Every corpse comes in, it's just sperm on their titties and their ears. I don't know what is going on.
What is happening? We have to wash them down. I don't understand.
We have got to get to the bottom of this.
It's a shock. My brother's just... It's not right.
Wright's sister still struggling to process the news.
I can't believe it.
Even though there's part of her that does believe it, describing her brother as childlike, with the mind of someone much younger.
As a mature adult, you're not going to go and play with toys. You know, the kid told him, he's that type. He will play with BB guns. You know, just things a child would find interest in.
A licensed security guard who moved back to Memphis after several years in South Carolina. We've learned Wright once worked security at another Memphis hospital, but that was more than a year ago.
He wanted to be a cop, and I guess that's the closest thing he could get at the moment.
He had this job at St. Francis through a private contractor called U.S. Security Associates. St. Francis says they fired him, writing his behavior, quote, does not represent what our hospital stands for and is completely unacceptable.
I think he's still a good person. He just needs help. I mean, because anybody that does something like that, it's got to be something wrong with him.
All right, Karen, guess the race.
What was his name?
Cameron Wright.
Oh, I think Cameron's black.
Karen's going with black. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe on this very controversial edition. Actually, I need to find a picture of him. Let's see, the chat room says Pussy Wagon Kill Bill, but he may be black, maybe, or is male. Ain't no maybes in Guess the Race. Black. The victim kept a stiff upper lip throughout the whole ordeal. Black. Aww. Aww. Necrophilia Nation. Black corpse fucking the Cameron nasty ass black. Mm-hmm. Just nasty black. 6 inches black. Sent too many hot zombies. Seen too many hot zombies in The Walking Dead. Black. Oh. Tipped his 40 to her memory before the act. Oh. Black dead ass. Fucked the shit out of her. Literally black. This does not represent who we stand for. What we stand for. Also black. We gotta save our sons. Black. What? Okay.
Save them.
Why'd that take me out? Okay, black, Memphis black, and black. The correct answer is black. Did anyone say anything but black? Did everybody go black on that?
I think they did.
What was the giveaway? Your sister?
Yep.
Oh, okay. And then I see pictures of him with a woman. I'm like, is that the corpse or his sister? Like, what is the, like, what's the significance of showing the picture of a woman next to him? That's him, by the way. Oh. Yeah, he looked pretty matter of fact about the whole thing. Like, yeah, I'll be fucking corpses and shit. Y'all know it's, must be a Tuesday.
Oh, Lord.
It's like you can't even fuck corpses no more at work, man. You know what I'm saying? Me Too movement got out of control. How this man supposed to be get back?
Well, I guess that would be the death of the Me Too movement then, huh?
Literally. How you supposed to get back? I mean, listen, I mean,
these victims can't protest.
We need a path for these men to get back at the job. I mean, it's good that he's out here having sex with corpses again at the old jobby job. I mean,
they can't create no hashtag.
Support these black brothers. These false accusations is putting us in prison. Mm-mm. Okay. Sorry, Ratchiness. Yeah, the good news is that I was reading more of the article, and it looks like he will be going on tour with Louis C.K. opening for him. So, y'all, don't worry about it. He's fine.
Nobody gets canceled.
It's called the Can't Keep Our Dicks to Ourselves tour, and it'll be coming to a city near you, okay?
They're going to be out there killing it.
They are, okay? You will die laughing, and then he will try to be on top of you, so be careful. A Belfast woman was remanded in custody yesterday after being accused of having a sword in public. Jenny Lee Lavery appeared before the city magistrate's court with in connection with the alleged incident at Laird Park on Monday. The 36-year-old Glenluce Gardens, okay, faces a charge of possessing an article with a blade or point in a public place. A police officer said he could connect her to the alleged offense. No further details are disclosed during the brief hearing. Defense solicitor Pat Kelly confirmed I'm instructed that she does not wish to apply for bail. So she was out there with a sword living dangerously, so they locked her ass up.
Yeah,
can't blame her.
Mm-mm.
I do one more. Police are searching for men wanted in connection with a stick and sword attack in Queens. Police are on the lookout for a group of men captured on surveillance video attacking a man in Queens with sticks and a sword. Investigators said the incident happened around 7 a.m. Sunday when a 26-year-old man was approached by four men. The suspects at first threatened the victim by displaying a gun. He then attempted to get away, but tripped and was cornered by the four men and assaulted with sticks and a sword. The group of men managed to flee the scene while the seriously injured victim was taken to Jamaica Hospital in stable condition. The first suspect is described as being approximately 18 to 24 years of age. Approximately 6'1 with black hair, facial hair, medium build. He was last seen wearing a red shirt and green sweatpants. Man, I think I know who these people are. And this is what happens when you lock up Stokes. Mariah Stokes. When you lock up Mariah Stokes, the crime goes crazy on the streets of New York. Okay?
That's not good.
So hopefully Luke Cage can do something about this, because I don't know what's
going on. You're going to fix the problem.
We got sword crimes in the big city. All right, guys. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate y'all. I love you.
I love you, too.
Mwah.